Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The legislative majority continues to play out of yesterday's playbook. Let's raise another tax, put a one-year, temporary one-year fix on something, and then we'll be back next year for another tax.
When the governor talks about shared sacrifice, I think we all get it, and we all agree. But shared sacrifice means 100% of us sharing the sacrifice, not 99%.
Who's that other 1%, I wonder? Yesterday saw dueling press conferences over New Jersey's budget, as those clips from NJ.com show. Governor Christie first proposing a stack of reforms, including public payroll and property tax caps, while the Democrats in the legislature, led by the second voice you just heard, Senate President Stephen Sweeney, plan to pass a millionaire's tax. Oh, that's the other 1%. To fund property tax and prescription drug relief for seniors. The two sides are also at odds over the governor's decision to replace, instead of the customary reappointment of a New Jersey Supreme Court justice, in fact, the only black judge on the court. Joining me now to talk about the latest from New Jersey, including today's municipal elections in many towns, Cory Booker, up for reelection, Star Ledger columnist Tom Moran. Hey, Tom, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And let me start with Election Day in Newark and elsewhere. Mayor Booker is up for re-election. I know your paper endorsed him. Is it a real contest?
I don't think so. The question people are wondering about mainly is how big Booker's margin of victory. And, you know, I'm hearing all kinds of rumors about what polls are saying about that, anything from 6 points to 15 to 20.
He got, I believe, 72% of the vote the first time around 4 years ago, right?
Yeah, that was his second time around.
Second.
He first ran and lost. Yeah.
Yes.
He lost to Sharp James, and then Sharp James withdrew at the end, and Ron Rice, a state senator, well-known figure in Newark, sort of came in at the last minute and tried to run against him, and it was a swamping.
I mean, just thinking about Booker, he's such a star in both Democrats and Republicans' eyes, locally and nationally. Does it hurt his ability to govern Newark, to get his agenda moving forward, to keep his agenda moving forward, if he wins in a squeaker? And who would be voting against him? If he only wins by 6 points or whatever, who's unhappy with Cory Booker?
Well, you know, interestingly, he's more popular in the parts of the city where there are Latinos and Portuguese and Brazilians than he is. The places where it's closer are generally the more concentrated African-American wards, the South Ward in particular, where Sharp James is from. There's always been in Newark a little bit among some of the old loyalists to Sharp James, and there's a parochial element to Newark politics where they don't want outsiders. And Cory Booker grew up in the white suburbs and then came in, as an adult. And when he does things like he appointed a white police director from New York City, from Giuliani's crew, Bratton's crew, who has done a great job, but when he pointed him, the fact that he was an outsider and a white guy caused all this turmoil in Newark.
And that still resonates.
Part of it is old school new. Yeah, I think that does still resonate with some.
All right. Well, let's do a little. We just have a few minutes for this, but listeners in Newark, if you want to get in on a quick, informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Election Day exit poll, call us with who you plan to vote for in the Newark mayoral election. And why? Are you still enthusiastic about Cory Booker? Did you vote for Cory Booker 4 years ago, but now you're thinking, he's a big star all over the place, but maybe not such a great mayor? Or is he doing a great job? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We'll just take a few calls from Newark as we talk about various threads here from New Jersey. And back to state government, Tom. Let's go through some of Governor Christie's 33 proposals from yesterday. He wants a property tax cap of 2.5% a year. I guess that's the biggest news, along with limiting public employee payroll increases to 2.5% a year. The Firemen's Union head already called this their Armageddon. New Jersey already has a property tax cap, right?
Yes, it's set at 4%, and it's full of holes for things like if you can exceed it if you get less state aid. You can exceed it if your health care costs go up too much. There's a long menu of exceptions, so people have regarded it as weak. But the last 2 years, we have come in under 4%.
And so the governor wants to chop it down to 2.5%. Why that number, and is it realistic?
It's modeled after Massachusetts's cap. and it can be overridden by referendum. And about half the time in Massachusetts when it goes to vote, it has been overridden. So it's different than Proposition 13 in California, which was a hard cap and many people believe has led to, you know, sort of the destruction of their public school system. Massachusetts still has one of the best school systems in the country. So the governor's saying, look, if they can do it, we can do it. The other cap on employee compensation is going to be even tougher because that says your combined salary and benefit costs can't increase by more than 2.5%. So School Boards Association yesterday said, well, last year our health costs went up 24%. So what happens? So they're objecting to that. That's going to be another gigantic fight. I mean, you got to give Chris Christie points for being willing to go into these things. We've spent a lot of time talking about this stuff, and he is finally fighting the fight. Whether or not it's a wise policy is another question, but he's out there swinging.
In fact, yesterday, being out there swinging at a news conference, the governor had to defend his tone. Listen.
You guys want to continue to talk about this process stuff, about my tone, my combativeness. You know, we got them standing in the doorway of the Senate saying they won't even hold a hearing on an enormously qualified Supreme Court nominee. You know, but that's not combative or confrontational. Of course not. You know, only I'm combative or confrontational.
Who asked that question?
That was me, Brian. He had done for a half hour sort of beating up Democrats, saying their plan was ridiculous and it was cute and all they want to do is raise taxes and raise spending. All this very pugilistic, you know, wedge issue campaign type of stuff. And so I asked him, you know, do you think your confrontational tone is going to help you get this through the legislature? And the reason I ask is all the Democrats are saying, look, this guy has provoked so much antagonism, he's really undercutting himself. And he went on that. He's like, forget it. That's just process, tone, nonsense, and the people in New Jersey care more about taxes, which is probably true.
And the governor called you the thinnest-skinned guy in America for even asking if his confrontational tone was helping his cause.
Yeah, his confrontational tone applied to me, too.
And the millionaire's tax, the Democrats countered the governor's proposals with a so-called millionaire's tax to enable them to offer relief to seniors, they say. How would that work?
Well, we're closing a $10 billion gap, and the real dispute has boiled down to this last issue of the surtax on the very rich. That was in place for 1 year and expired at the end of 2009. Democrats are saying, we need another year. This is a crisis. Christie's saying, no way. This is a new day in New Jersey. I will veto that to the death. So yesterday, Democrats sort of tried to reshape it a little bit and set up the politics for the coming couple of months. They said, okay, this would apply only on incomes above $1 million. It had been $400,000. That's 16,000 people. We'll take that money and we'll give it to seniors. 600,000 seniors would get either property tax rebates or help buying their prescription drugs with that money. So that's pretty much what the debate has boiled down to, which when you think about it, if we're that close in a $10 billion gap, that's not so bad.
What about the issue of millionaires leaving the state of New Jersey? We'll be talking about this as a separate next hour as part of our anecdotal census series. We'll be taking a close look at how Bergen County has changed over the last 10 years. And one of the things we'll be asking the county executive, among some other folks, is whether wealthier New Jerseyans really are leaving the county, really are leaving the state. Is it known?
There are different ways to look at the data, Brian, but the number of filers earning more than $500,000 in New Jersey. So most people would consider that rich. I think it puts you into the top 1% or so. Those numbers during the the 2000s, grew considerably by about 60%. On the other hand, we have a recent study from a foundation in Boston that found people with money in retirement are leaving the state, taking their money with them, and so there's a net loss of wealth.
Nadia.
So you can argue it either way. And they've been going at this for many years. I mean, the fact is, to me, it seems pretty clear. New Jersey is a place where people come, they make a lot of money, they get into retirement, and they flee to a lower tax state. I don't know how we're going to avoid that by changing the top marginal rate, being 1% different one way or the other, does not seem determinative to me.
Who has the power here? The legislature is still controlled by a majority of Democrats. The governor obviously has veto power unless there are the numbers to override. Who's got the power?
Picture two people each holding a gun to the other's head. There you have the situation. Neither one can do anything without the other. For example, at the core of Christie's reform proposal is 2.5% constitutional amendment to cap the taxes, as you outlined. His role in getting a constitutional amendment is zero. This is all about the legislature passing it and putting it on a ballot to the voters. The governor has no official role in this whatsoever. So he needs the Democrats, and the Democrats need him. He's going to veto this surtax, and they don't have the votes to override. So at some point, these guys need to sit down in a room and cut a deal. This is what, to me, is so striking about Christie's tone. He's nothing but combative. And you wonder, I think Democrats tell me it's harder for them to try to get people to support these reforms if he poisons the atmosphere like that.
You know, there is a pattern of prosecutors from both parties taking office and governing in this way. Of course, there was Giuliani, also a Republican in New York City. There was Elliot Spitzer, a Democrat, at the head of New York State. He certainly didn't do himself any favors from the way he went from attorney general with a prosecutor's tone to governor. Governor in waiting in New York, potentially. Andrew Cuomo, we'll see if he does the same thing when he moves from attorney general, but he's got other kinds of experience, like running HUD. But there is this thing, apparently, with prosecutors coming in and governing like prosecutors when they become executives.
Yeah, and I wonder, I guess the question with Christie is he going to be someone who, after a couple of months of this, people get tired of it and he loses popularity? Or is he somebody who's really captured the moment? Because there is a lot of fury in New Jersey, especially over the property tax and the corruption that Christie worked on so hard as U.S. attorney.
Nadia.
So, if he is able to get it, who knows?
Nadia in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hello, Nadia.
Hi, good morning. Side note, having Christie is a misery, and not because I'm a millionaire, because I'm not, just for many other reasons. But so I'm here to call back Mayor Booker, and I wanted to say that I thought it was an absolutely amazing thing that that he had the side of the Portuguese and the other minority community within Newark, because, you know, working in Newark and going to the law school at Rutgers, I'm noticing just a huge change in Newark. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful place to live. There's new art community coming in, and it's great. And I like the fact that, you know, Mayor Booker has this other side to him, where he's able to bridge the growing community that's coming in, as well as a fair chance with the African-American community.
Thank you for your call. All right. We've got five more minutes on this, folks. Newark listeners, call in and tell us, how's Cory Booker doing from 1 to 10? Whether or not you're voting today, maybe this is seen as a fait accompli and very few people are actually going to turn out. And so the election won't mean very much in that respect. But if you live in Newark, call up right now and rate Governor Booker's term in office from 1 to 10. How's he doing? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Give us a call right now as we continue for another few minutes with Tom Moran, columnist for the Star Ledger. Tom, I want to get back to this state Supreme Court Justice, John Wallace. What's the story there for people who haven't followed it closely? Why is the governor not reappointing Wallace, and how unusual is that?
Well, it's a very aggressive move, and again, it was done without any consideration of how the Democrats might respond. John Wallace has been on the bench 7 years. At that point in New Jersey, the Constitution says the governor can choose to reappoint him or not. It doesn't say on any grounds. Christie chose not to. He's clearly within his rights to do this. But he's the first governor in modern history to do it. The reason being, governors like, for example, Governor Kaine reappointed very, very liberal justices, and his view is that if judges have to worry about the content of their decisions, you know, that they're going to lose their job if they make a ruling on X, Y, or Z, they wouldn't make their best judgment on the issue at hand. So the 7-year mark has been used to remove judges at the lower level only when they have some kind of personal misconduct, if their competence or their ethics or something, not on the basis of content of their decision. That's what's new about this. So the Supreme Court Chief Justice, who is close to Christie, used to work for him in the U.S. Attorney's Office, put out a blistering statement saying this is really unhealthy for the court. Judges will now have to look over their shoulders. So Democrats responded by saying they had made it clear they like Judge Wallace. They want him in there. Christie defied them, and now they are not holding a hearing on Christie's nominee to replace Judge Wallace, a woman named Ann Peterson, corporate lawyer from Morris County.
So
it's a standoff.
So if Christie is asked, are you just trying to politicize the court, take somebody who is a qualified jurist but whose decisions you think are too liberal and firing him for that reason? Because everybody, Dan, you know, we're going to see the same thing in the Elena Kagan hearings as we saw them in the John Roberts hearings and every other one for 30 years. Everybody says, no, this isn't about politics. This is about people's qualifications. What does Christie say to that?
He makes it clear that it is about his ideology. It's not about Judge Wallace's integrity and everything. His competence are not a question here, the Justice Wallace. He says, look, elections have consequences. People elected me to make change in New Jersey. I can't do that without a more conservative court, because this court keeps forcing us to spend money on poor schools, forcing us to build affordable housing, forcing us to do all kinds of things that I don't want to do.
Nelson in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nelson.
How you doing, man?
Good. What's going on? How's Cory Booker doing?
He's doing real good, brother. I'm telling you.
Why?
The thing he became mayor of this state, there have been a lot of great changes, more especially on the criminals, the killers, and all the drug dealers. It's the war on them. And this, but right now, like you used to see, guys with a uniform, red dress, red T-shirts, blue shirt, and all these things will be along the streets.
That's the gang colors.
Yeah. This being going away. I don't see these kind of people in the street. Like, where I live, right in the hood, I mean, I right between the two gang groups at the border.
Uh-huh.
Now, I used to be afraid getting out to go to work, but since he became mayor and got into his suit and started running after them in the street, all these things went away. So, I mean, really, I want him to continue being a mayor. I really appreciate what you're doing.
Nelson, thank you very much. And that's quite a testimonial, Tom Moran. He says lives right in the hood between the two gang, between the two, the turf of the two gangs. And since Mayor Booker came in his suit, he said, and started running after these guys, he feels a lot safer. Think that's
gun
typical?
Gun violence in Newark has been cut in half in the last 4 years under Booker. To me, that's one of the most remarkable public accomplishments in the state in recent years.
Here's a business owner in Newark named Peter. Peter, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Hi. We've been incredibly happy with the way that not only Cory Booker, but Cory Booker's team, the Brick City Development Corporation, and the facilities that are available to us to help start a business in Newark. We have gotten tremendous response. I've found plenty of outlets and resources to help us build and fund our business, and we couldn't have done that under the previous administration. We really noticed a huge change. So it's not only Cory Booker, but the team that he's brought has really energized the city.
Peter, thank you very much. Another business owner, Gerard in Newark. Hi, Gerard.
Hi, yes. Just a few years ago, people would ask me why when I told them I had a business in Newark, and today the answer is how. They want to know about locations, about suggestions. There is a significant change in tone and confidence in favor of Newark, which is directly correlated to a lot of the policies that the Booker administration has implemented. So I applaud him for that.
All right, Tom, Gerard, thank you very much. Tom, we just have a minute left. No difficulty finding supporters of Mayor Booker.
No. As I say, I think he's got a very solid record. I mean, we could go into other things, but recreation, housing, business climate, programs for released prisoners. He's been very energetic and innovative. I mean, obviously, New York still has a lot of problems. It's deeply a horrible poverty problem. Unemployment rate's 13 or 14% here. We've got a long way to go, but it's without doubt a significant improvement.
On Election Day in Newark and other municipalities in the state. Last thing before we go, tell me one emblematic decision that Justice Wallace voted on that led to Christie's extreme disenchantment with him. Can you?
You know, I asked him that very question and he didn't name a single case. I mean, Judge Wallace is not a wild liberal. He's been more of a sort of left center guy. He voted for death penalty. He voted to help revise the school funding decision to allow more money to go to the suburbs, which is a longtime Republican demand. He voted for civil unions instead of gay marriage. He wasn't there when the court made its most the rulings that really irritate conservatives on affordable housing, on Frank Lautenberg being able to run for the Senate when Bob Torricelli left just before the election. He wasn't there for those decisions. So that really adds fuel to the fire for Democrats. What Christie wanted is to move the court conservative with this new nominee, but he wasn't picking on the guy who's most liberal.
He was picking on the guy who's coming up for renewal.
Right.
Only black justice on the state Supreme Court. Does the backlash matter?
Well, I don't think the court is something that your average person on the street pays a lot of attention to, but it's very irritating to the black leadership in the state, and that's bound to filter down.
Tom Moran, columnist with the Star-Ledger, thanks a lot for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in just a minute, we'll talk to Sebastian Younger, who has a new book on the war in Afghanistan, and among other things, we'll ask him about Hamid Karzai's visit to Washington today during times of tense relationships with the Obama administration. I mean, they basically both called each other names. And also the curiosity of Attorney General Holder saying the Times Square bombing attempt came from the Pakistani Taliban just after General Petraeus had said the suspect was a lone wolf. We'll ask Sebastian Younger about the disconnect. Stay with us.